Well, of course, it's been front and centre on the news over the past few days and few weeks. Of course, the situation with refugees crossing the Channel, the tragic story of 27 people drowning in the English Channel just last week. I thought it'd be a good idea to get a bit of a catch-up with Cambridge's angle on this by inviting Catherine Walston from Camcrag onto the line. Catherine, very good afternoon. Long time no speak.
Yeah, very good afternoon to you too, Neil.
So, I mean, as you say, with COVID and everything, I guess your convoys out to Calais have suffered. But what's the situation at the moment with Camcrag and the situation out there?
The situation in Calais has been absolutely horrible for the last 18 months. As you might imagine, the groups on the ground there have had very few volunteers. We, of course, couldn't get over there. You know, there was no way of getting into France. Since the finalisation of Brexit at the beginning of the year, it's been incredibly difficult to take material supplies or even send them to France. We have now worked out a way of doing that, but we can't send stuff to Greece, where obviously there are lots more refugees. So, it's still a very complicated situation, but we are now running convoys again, which is great. So we can put stuff in the back of our cars and we can take volunteers and we can go over for a weekend.
And there's been talk in the press about camps being broken up in Calais. I'm never quite sure which ones I've visited, which ones are still going, and constant efforts to try and disperse the refugees that gather there. What are we talking about in terms of numbers at the moment? Are the numbers increasing or just holding steady?
Numbers are increasing. You'll have seen as they've started to release details of the victims of last week's drownings that some of those people had come via Belarus and Poland. So there are numbers coming who are managing to get through that border who are now arriving in Calais. There's also been something of a panic response to the Afghan crisis. So it's not just Afghans who are going to be making their way across Iran and into Turkey and then heading west. It's also that a number of countries are closing their borders to keep the Afghans out. And that means that people who had perhaps been considering their options as to how to get to the UK to be with relatives, like the first victim, Mariam, who was trying to rejoin her fiancé here, have decided to take, you know, unilateral action because they're scared of the borders closing.
Yes, I mean, when I was reading these reports, and you know, the emphasis is all upon the people traffickers and these gangs of people who are charging thousands and thousands of pounds. But my kind of thought was, yeah, but if you're going to close the borders and make life difficult, people are still going to try and do this. They're still going to try and get themselves and their families to some form of safety. And sometimes that must mean going this way. This has got to be the only route, hasn't it?
Yes, it absolutely is. There really are no safe legal routes. I mean, as I just mentioned, the girl who was trying to rejoin her fiancé had tried twice through British embassies to get permission to come here to be with her fiancé and had failed. Now, she ran out of patience and that was a fatal mistake. Obviously, people smugglers are horrible. It should be stopped. But we also know that prohibition doesn't work. Mm. The way to manage it is to create methods by which people can have their asylum claims reviewed to see whether they have a legitimate right to come here without putting themselves in danger. And at the moment, under the current extremely hostile environment, all routes are being closed down. So back in June, the government voted, well, MPs voted with a huge majority to the government to abolish the right to family reunion for people in Europe wanting to come to the UK. So that leaves people stranded and they're not just going to give up. What else are they going to do? They can't go home. If their friends and relatives are in the UK, this is where they want to come. And that means that the only option left to them is to trek across Europe and pay a people smuggler and get on a boat and they may drown.
So all of this talk of you know, closing up the borders and that's all fine. But the European Union seems to be sort of fairly uncomfortable with the whole thing. They don't really want this all massing up on their borders because these people are still going to try and get across and try and get across to the UK. Because, as you say, that's where family and friends and relatives are. They're just going to start to bottleneck in Calais on an increasingly worse basis. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's completely right. I think the European Union does its fair share for asylum seekers. I mean, France takes three times as many as we do. Germany takes five times as many as we do. They are being paid a lot of UK taxpayers' money in France to try to police the situation, but they have miles and miles of beach between the Cherbourg Peninsula and northern Belgium. It's simply not possible to police all of that.
No.
As their MP, so the member of the National Assembly for Calais, whose name is Pierre-Henri Dumont, said when he was so angry with Boris Johnson last week, he said, you know, you can throw money at this, but it takes 15 minutes to get a boat onto the water. We cannot be everywhere all the time.
No,
so it's just not going to be possible to stop people. The only way to stop them is to offer them an alternative that's safe.
Okay, and in the meantime, as we know, there's been these camps building up in Calais, and that's where Camcrag comes in. You work as part of the aid distribution effort there. You were saying that you'd been having trouble to get stuff even into France, but you've managed to do three runs now. Is Cambridge still forefront in trying to help these people?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They're very, very pleased to see us when we go. And we're still making ponchos, you know, big up to the poncho group. We've got a fundraiser on at the moment to raise more money to buy more blankets to make into more ponchos. Our principal partners there are the Calais Food Collective, who supply food for the refugees to cook for themselves, the Woodyard, who obviously chop up wood and give them to people to keep warm, and principally Collective Aid, who supply the non-food items, so tents, sleeping bags, and clothes. And they need help not just with being given stuff, we can't take food across anymore anyway, they need help with managing the warehouse, they need help with distributions, they need help with everything. They're very, very short-handed. So yeah, they're delighted when we come. And as you said, the clearances have been stepped up recently. So there was a very big camp near the main hospital in Calais. And that was cleared about 3 weeks ago. And they do what they always do, which is to put up enormous metal fencing, chop down all the trees, put up posters saying this is an area that is about to be developed. And of course, they're not about to be developed. They're simply moving people on and making sure they can't stay there.
Sure.
And this was very shortly, ironically, after the French government had announced that they would try to be more pragmatic and not do, you know, dramatic evictions with no notice. And that was very much because there is a hunger strike going on in a church in Calais by a pastor and a couple of his congregation to raise awareness of this. And government ministers have been sent to talk to them and come away saying, oh, yes, we're going to do something about this. We're going to be much nicer. And then they do this.
I mean, we should explain, really, shouldn't we, that people who get tuning in going, well, what's this about ponchos? Just explain the reason why ponchos are so essential for refugees out there.
Well, a poncho is obviously a wearable blanket. Mm. And when these evictions happen, the police storm into a campsite, they slash tents, and they confiscate people's possessions. You can't confiscate something that somebody is wearing, or at least it's a great deal more difficult. So ponchos was a solution to that problem. It means that people can stay warm and they won't have their stuff taken by the police.
Honestly. Well, here we go. Anyway, as you say, you're doing what you can and things have changed, but you're doing what you can. You've got some fundraisers and stuff coming up that people might want to get involved in.
Yeah. I mean, we have an online auction of promises going on at the moment, and you can find that or a link to that on our website, which is www.camcrag.org.uk. There are lots of lovely things you can bid for, including a week in a lovely cottage at Clye, or is it Wells? Norfolk somewhere.
Up this way.
Cakes. Yeah, somewhere nice on the coast. Lovely Christmas cakes, chutneys, jams, services, English lessons or Arabic lessons, or, you know, all sorts of interesting things that you can bid for on that. We've got a Cayley, which will be fantastic. This is the right time of year to be, you know, swinging your kilt or stripping the willow or whatever it is we do. and we have a lovely live band. They're called the Jumping Beans. They are brilliant. They played at my silver wedding anniversary.
Oh, my goodness me.
Yes.
Congratulations.
They are Thank you. And that is in St. Giles's Church on Friday the 10th, so in just under 2 weeks.
Lovely. And then coming into 2022, you're doing your sleep out again.
We are, yes. We're doing our big sponsored sleep out again. It's at St. Charles's Church, which is on the corner of Cheston Road and Castle Hill. And they allow us to use their churchyard for a very, very cold night, raising money for not just refugees and migrants in Northern Europe, but also for homeless charities in Cambridge. So this year we're hoping to partner again with the Cambridge Church's Homeless Project, which supplies shelter to street sleepers in Cambridge over the winter months.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, we'll keep up to date with you on those events as they all come up, and we'll make sure they all go on our What's On guide. Catherine, thank you so much for the catch-up. Love to everybody at Camcrag, and thanks for bringing us up to speed and giving us your thoughts on this today. Do take care, and have a lovely Christmas, all of you, if I don't speak
thank
to you before.
You. Thanks, Neil, and you.